that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. A precious Sith that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my the Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, the earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever.
If you would open your Bibles first, please, to the 100th Psalm. The 100th Psalm. Because it's such a short psalm, I'd like to read it all, even though my thoughts this morning are primarily on just the last two verses of it. You'll notice that it is a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Here are the verses particularly before me. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Second reading, please. Familiar words in Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, please. And we're only going to break into the narrative and read verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Actually, let's complete it. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, fortress, garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And if you would, please, just back a few pages to 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Really need not even turn to it. When I say verse 15, you will know exactly what verse it is. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So obviously my thoughts today are a continuation of Thanksgiving holiday that we were able to celebrate on Thursday. I know we have some Canadians here who celebrate on the wrong date. It's always something that I love to tease about a little bit on Facebook, but we understand the reason for Thanksgiving. It was a time set apart before the winter snows came and prior to or after the harvest had been brought in and stored for oftentimes a very large winter. It was a time set apart for Thanksgiving, giving of thanks. And every year at Thanksgiving, I think something in my mind, and it is this. I love this holiday because it's that one day each year set aside for us to be thankful for the things that we have. And as soon as I think that, then I wonder, all through the English speaking world in North America, be it in early or last Thursday, how many people, when they come together to give thanks, actually give thanks? Is it a time, frankly, for us just to see loved ones that we haven't seen perhaps for a while, to enjoy a great meal, to watch a couple of football games perhaps? I am saddened, really, at the thought that there probably are a lot of people that meet together for Thanksgiving without a lot of thanksgiving in their hearts. But for us who are Christians, who are believers in Jesus Christ, we don't need a day set aside and a federal holiday to be thankful. Or we shouldn't. The Bible is, it's not exactly overrun with mentions of thanks or thanksgivings. But there are quite a number of mentions of it in Scripture. And through the years, I've put together two Thanksgiving messages. The one of which, because I was always home there in Myrtle Beach over Thanksgiving, and so on that last Sunday of the month, I probably in 25 years gave the one message three times. And you probably have that written down in your Bible and underneath it, a note that says, not again. But I started thinking how it was time for me to really start looking up some totally different verses from those two messages. And as always, it becomes a which one do I choose? Which ones do I choose? Well, today I have chosen these three. And there is a purpose for it. The 100th Psalm is not listed as a Psalm of David. But regardless, this song, Psalm 100, is easily singable as a song. Five verses, every one of them rich, every one of them full. And at the end of this little psalm, the unknown psalmist writes this: enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We'll look at verse 5 in a moment. I am convinced that the majority of people in our country, in our continent maybe, I don't know enough to say around the world, but it could be, I'm convinced that a majority of people are not very thankful. Through the years, in messages, especially when I talk about peace, I've mentioned the story of a couple that I stayed with in the north, only one weekend for their conference. And I guess I had met them, but I surely didn't know them. When I pulled into their driveway, it was the tiniest little house, tiny little house. And they both came out and they were waiting on the front porch for me. And immediately I was enveloped into two bear hugs and showered with love. And my point that I use in a message, any message on peace, when I think of them, because I can't think of that word without them. What I felt and found, the reality that I lived in that weekend, was a peace and a happiness and a contentment reigning within those four small walls that a billionaire could never buy. They were content and they were thankful. By the standards of many in their state, maybe even in their town, they didn't have a lot of material possessions. We rode that weekend back and forth to the assembly building for the conference in a car that had to be between 15 and 20 years old, still ran fine. And their furnishings were very simple and their clothing was very simple. In fact, he wore the same clothes Friday night and all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And I've been thinking of them much this weekend, because this last week he joined his dear wife in heaven at the age of 103. And they will always be my models for peaceful, content, and thankful people. It's not always that way, is it? There are a lot of people who have so many reasons to be thankful, and they're miserable. This morning at the Lord's Supper, together we met and we entered into his courts again. with thanksgiving and with praise. It's one of the reasons, frankly, why I love the Lord's Supper. It's one of the reasons why I'm fairly convinced, I've never tested the theory, but I'm fairly convinced I wouldn't be as happy anywhere else. I love to remember the Lord each Sunday. And one of the reasons that I love it is because it brings us back by faith to the foot of the cross, causes us to again realize what we were and were not before we accepted Christ as Savior. And our hearts just overflow in thanksgiving and praise and worship when we enter into His courts with a thankful heart. Is that the only time that we enter His courts with thanksgiving? The obvious answer is no. No. We can actually enter into the throne room of heaven anytime and at all times, but we must do it with a thankful heart. And it proves to me, and not just only in this particular verse, but it proves to me that the number one attitude that we should maintain, and especially when we come into His presence, we need to open with thanksgiving. Not say, Lord, I'm desperate. I really need help right now. Thanksgiving should never be an afterthought or a second thought. We need to begin with thanksgiving. And so that leads me then to the further realization that I have to live with thanksgiving all the time. I have to have a thankful spirit, a thankful countenance. I was going through a list Friday of celebrities who committed suicide last year and through the end of, I think it was September, maybe October of this year. And some of them were incredibly wealthy people. Movie stars, athletes, politicians, and the like. Captains of industry. And I actually went out and Googled some of them and found what their suggested net worth was. The one man left behind 10 homes scattered around the world, and his net worth was estimated between $7 and $8 billion. I think Jim Keck's the only man I know with that kind of a net worth. And he committed suicide. And a poor person would sit back and say, why? How can somebody that has everything, how can a person who has 10 homes, when right now I can barely afford the mortgage on my one little house, and we're struggling to feed our family, how can one person so privileged become so despondent that they feel there's nothing left to live for and take their own life? It was a depressing list. And I believe that one of the very first things that we can think is they had little or no thanksgiving in their hearts for all that they had been given. And it's tragic in a way. Now, obviously, that's a person on the very, very high extreme end of it all. There are people that are living among us, and by the world's standards, compared with people in parts of Latin or Central America or Africa or other parts of the world, Siberia, they have a lot. maybe not as much as many in the free West, and they're just as miserable. Again, it comes back to an attitude of thanksgiving. And you could ask a wealthy person, so how much do you need? And their inevitable attitude will be, more than I have right now. And you could ask them, how much are you worth? And even if they don't say it, their attitude would be, not quite enough yet. And in this age of conspicuous consumption, thanksgiving is a forgotten word in a lot of lives. Enter, says the psalmist, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, some who may not know scripture very well might well ask, why? Why should we do that? And the answer is perfectly encapsulated in verse number 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures from generation to generation. Always has, and thank God it always will. I have mentioned a couple times, forgive me if I have, in Myrtle Beach. It's there a lot of years. But certain Christmases, we used to live for it. It was wonderful. When our kids were a lot younger, we would get invited to the home of just a remarkable couple. They lived quite a ways from us. They were in the Assembly in Maryland where we fellowshipped, and they're both long with the Lord. He was a very proper Englishman and a unique man. We had a great relationship. He was one of my original elders, and I said to him one time, have you ever heard the expression that you can always tell an Englishman, just not much? And he laughed and he said, yes, I dare say I'm a bit like that. I said, maybe a bit. And he was. And his wife was just so, she was an American, and so freewheeling and wide open and pedal to the metal all through life. And those two are just, they were to me one of those opposite attracts kind of couples. But boy, it was wonderful. Every year at Thanksgiving, they would invite a ton of people. And she worked hard, and they were not young then. And she would invite certain families from the Assembly that she knew probably wouldn't get invited anywhere else. And she would put together this most eclectic group of people from all around the world, and we would meet at their house for Thanksgiving. And before it started, Brother Norm would clink on a glass and get everybody's attention. He said, before we serve the food, which is still warming in the oven, I would like for each person here, my kids dreaded this, I would like for each person here to stand up and give us a reason why you are thankful today. And with the adults, the answers were fairly much what you would think of saying, and there were occasionally some who had been through the mill that year, very serious surgery, and they were finally doing well, and they had won the invite to Norman Ruth's house, and they stood up and they said, we're just so thankful to the Lord for restoring our health. We're 90% back, and we would all give thanks to the Lord. When it came to the kids that were there, whichever one of my kids was first as we were going in order, the other two would get angry at them because their first answer was the one that all of them wanted to say, we're thankful for 5 days off school. You know, that was, they were little kids, and so that's what they were grateful for. But I love that ceremony. It was a sacred time to count your blessings and name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. For the Lord is good. Even when we don't see it, He's good. And we should be thankful for it. For His mercy is everlasting. And we must be thankful for it. And His truth endures from one generation to the next. And if we are not thankful for it, then I'm afraid something is really wrong. In Philippians chapter 4, a verse that so many of us have possibly, I don't know, puzzled over, maybe even agonized over a little bit because of how difficult this is, we find ourselves reading this, "Be anxious for nothing." And I've long maintained that if that's where verse 6 of Philippians 4 ended, God would have given us an impossible task. Human anxieties are real. She is listening, and I wouldn't say it if we hadn't talked this out with her, but during Donna's 9 or 10 days in the ICU, there were 3.5 days where honestly we wondered if she would be coming home. I've been there before, and I have to tell you that it brings up a lot of feelings, but I had no panic, and I had absolutely nothing but trust in God this time. God put me through another test as a husband, and this time I had an equipment list that I hadn't had before that helped me really through it. But if I were to sit here today in front of you, and even though we're not in the same building, we're together, and if I said, "Oh yeah, I had no anxiety whatsoever," I would be a liar. Things in life give us anxiety at times. Not everything is fun and games. And so if we stopped here, "Be anxious for nothing," and we went up to somebody that's in the midst of a massive trial, and we said, "How are you doing?" And they began, because they trust us enough, they began to share with us their anxieties and their trials and their tests and the tribulation that it brought. And we looked at them and we said, "Wait a minute, wait. The Apostle Paul in Scripture said, 'Be anxious for nothing.' Now get over it." And turned and walked away from them. What comfort would that bring them? And of course, obviously, nothing. None. They probably want to hit us. But the bottom line is, it doesn't stop there. In everything, by prayer and supplication — we don't have time to go into those words, they are different, but they're beautifully complementary — in everything, by prayer and supplication, and to me, here's the clue, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Last clause first. We're being begged to make our request known to a God who knew them long before we did. There's absolutely nothing that we can ask Him that has ever or will ever catch Him by surprise. He knows. But we are still to come with our prayers and with our supplications, but again, in this attitude of thanksgiving. And we didn't read it, but if we do that, What does the next verse say in answer of this? And the peace of God, yeah, we did read it, which surpasses all human understanding, will build a fortress, a garrison, around your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And there is the reason that we can be thankful even in the midst of trial. We can have an attitude that would say, Lord, I don't like this. I don't really understand why you are asking me or us to go through this trial. But there's a reason for it. And so in the midst of it, all I can say is, for anything and everything that you're doing, thank you. Now please help me to learn the lessons that you wish me to learn. Our time is flying, and so I have to leave that, didn't really want to this quickly, but in our last reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that most wonderful and remarkable verse that we shared together, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I, of course, grew up with the King James. I still love it. I still read from it often, still speak reading from the King James. I actually did earlier today in the Sunday school hour. I love the King James, and yet when I was fairly young, and this verse was spoken on by a number of people, I would hear them say, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And as a young guy, I couldn't really understand that. And I remember once thinking to myself, if it's unspeakable, how come people speak about it all the time? And of course, I come to understand what that means. It's not a bad choice of words. But frankly, this word is a little better. It's indescribable. No matter how often, how long we speak on this gift of God, we can never exhaust it. Never, ever, ever. So next year I will turn 70. I was saved just before I was 13. And even though I wasn't baptized and received into fellowship in the local assembly that I grew up in until I was 15, 2.5 years later, when I came to observe the Lord's Supper, starting the Sunday after I got saved, everything changed. I was going to do the math and then decided, nah, it's too depressing. I don't know how many Lord's Suppers I've been in. I don't know how many times I have found myself reading in Scripture. The Lord knows, but we're talking countless thousands. Now, you put your numbers in. How many Lord's Suppers you have been to. How often you have read of the wonders of Christ. And so I ask you a question as I've asked myself this week. Have we ever been able to adequately describe the gift of God? I think the answer is no, and I can only answer for myself. But I take this certain comfort. We read that in the ages to come. Now, we don't understand all of them entirely. In fact, the majority of them, we don't. We know something about the tribulation that we will not be here for. We will know experientially of the millennial reign of Christ. We know there will be the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. We know there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. But beyond that, what our loved ones today and what we eternally will experience, God has kept a lot of that from us. And so these eternal ages are kind of a mystery. The only thing that I think I can say with any certainty about them is this. As we follow years, and we won't then, but 4 billion years from now, there will not be any announcement made over that celestial PA system. This is God the Father. You have to give me credit. It took a long time. But I have finally exhausted all of the superlatives to tell you about the gift of God through my Son of eternal life. It's never going to happen. And I believe that from all of the ages of eternity, this indescribable gift will never be exhausted. But what's the first word of the verse? Thanks. Thanks be to God for that indescribable gift. If you and I ever find our heart of thankfulness waning, there is one thing that we must do to get back in fellowship with Him. And that is to rekindle a thankful spirit, a thankful heart. We've had a reminder of it Thursday. I hope yours was wonderful. We actually were able to get together with all of the family here. Missed my boys a lot, but thankfully they were well taken care of over Thanksgiving. And that's great, and evidently enjoyed it a lot. Now, the bottom line is that wherever we were, I hope we were able to kind of recalibrate. And above all in that day, not just give thanks for good health and for good food, and for maybe bills paid and mortgages met and being able to fill up our tanks with fuel and all of these things that are so captivating to the world right now. I hope that above all, we could come together and say, Lord, all we can say to you is this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. For a gift that is absolutely immeasurable. The height of that gift will never be scaled. The breadth of it will never be discovered. The depth of it will never be plumbed. It is unspeakable and it is unsearchable. May God simply give to us thankfulness today for that gift which is indescribable, so that we may continually enter into His courts with thanksgiving and not feel human anxiety overwhelm us, because we have the profound ability to come into His presence with prayers and supplication, and all of it in an attitude of thankfulness. Father, today we do give thanks for that amazing gift, that inexhaustible, surpassing gift of the person of Thy Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thanks for that relationship of that friend that sticks closer than any brother on earth, for the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are grateful that underneath us are everlasting arms. And we are thankful that watching over us is none other than that God who pities us as a father pities and cares for His children. of all people in the world, Father, even if we have relatively little, we have everything. And we would ask that our thankfulness and our spirit of thanksgiving every moment of every day may be on full display as we ask this and give renewed thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.